Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to start at verse 33 again in this 12th chapter of Matthew. Sometimes we read the scriptures and we read over them. And there are so many different lessons that are being taught simultaneously in the ministry of our Lord and the ministry of the Apostle Paul and so forth. And sometimes you just read it and you don't see it. And other times you thought, well, I've taught that before. Maybe I'll just, glide over it. Now we'll pick it up later. But in the 33rd verse of this 12th chapter, it's amazing to me that in the Scofield Bible and in any reference Bible that I've ever used, nobody takes us back to the Garden of Eden with this verse. And that's immediately where we should go. Because it says, verse 33 of the 12th chapter of Matthew, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now in the natural realm, if you want an apple, of course there are different varieties of apples, but you go to that variety of apple tree, or a plum tree, or a apricot tree, or a peach tree, or whatever it happens to be, and you don't expect to get apples off peach trees. So there are two trees that we're concerned with. And they were in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And these are the two trees that we're referencing here, the good tree and the evil tree. And the good tree is called the tree of life. And prior to the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, at that point in time, the tree of life, if Adam and Eve had eaten of that tree, they would have lived forever. Okay. But the serpent came, and the serpent is the devil incarnate, and he planted a tree next to the tree of life, which was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By definition, man's morality is his knowledge of good and evil. It's absolutely amazing to me that so many men never see that. And obviously the reference that we have here that takes us back to the trees, that should take us all the way back to Genesis, because we're not concerned with the olive trees. We're not concerned with any kind of tree in the natural. We're dealing with spiritual truths. And the spiritual truth is there is a tree from which man derived a knowledge of good and evil, which Eve was deceived into believing it could make her like God. Now, what is a knowledge of good and evil? It's what we call good. It's man's morality. But by morality, no one can come to God. Once Eve disobeyed God and ate of that tree, and she gave the fruit also to her husband, and he did eat. And so once they ate of that tree, then they were lost. God told them, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what?
Surely die.
No. The way most people read it is, you might die, or, this or that. No, you shall surely die. And the death is twofold. It was immediately spiritual, and then it is eventually physical. Now, back at the beginning of the human family, Adam lived 900 and some odd years. We go through the various ones. They lived a long time. I think I'm correct with 900, but I may not be.
930.
Yeah. But when we think about that, that's a long time. You know, that's over about 12 times what our lives are, you know, if we take it back to 70, because in the age in which we live, the average life of the individual is 70. You go and you find children in the obituary, and you find young people in the obituary, and you find old people in the obituary, and you add their ages up. On any given day, this will just almost always do this. You add them all up, divide by the number, and what do you get? 70. Just with my parents. You know, my mother lived to be 97 years old.
96?
Yeah. Okay. It was just before her birthday that she died. Yeah. Yeah, it was just, she was almost 97. Anyway, she lived 96 years. My dad lived 44. You add the two together and divide them by two, and what do you get? Yeah, 70. No. It works in almost every instance. So, we're talking about the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve showed no interest in the tree of life. Eve was deceived into believing the serpent that a knowledge of good and evil would make her like God. Every religious system in the world, bar none, you know, including Judaism, which has had the truth, and Christianity, which has the truth, the majority of the churches or the synagogues under those two, which once had the truth, also go to man's morality as a system of gaining entrance into heaven. Now, we know that we're saved by grace through faith. We know Christ had to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness, and he had to die a ransom for sin, because without the shedding of blood is what?
No remission.
Yeah. You can't have your sins paid for by anything you do. Now, is a good life, a moral life, better than a bad life? Yes, as long as you don't mix it up with your eternal life. Because your quote-unquote moral life will only get you hell. Yeah. And so we need to understand that. Oh, we didn't sing happy birthday to Misty. We'll get you next week. I didn't see you come in, and I just remembered that I didn't put it in the bulletin last week because you were gone, and this week I put it in and I was gone. Okay. So, these two trees are so important. Yeah. One tells us, like all of the religions of the world, are based upon what? Some form of morality. So what is a knowledge of good and evil? It's some form of morality. And it varies. They say there are 4,000 different systems of morality. I believe there's more. Because every man does that which is right in his own eyes. So we're going to have a little variation for each man. So probably as many people as there are in the world, we have moral systems in the world. Yeah. What's good for me? Okay. So he then refers to these people because they have taken their fruit, these Jews, said all that the Lord has spoken, what?
We will do.
Could they? No. Did they? No. There's only one Jew that ever kept the law. He's God who became a man by means of the virgin birth, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other person, not Moses, not Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, go down the list, none of the prophets, none of the apostles, no one ever kept the law. But Jesus Christ kept it for us. And he also kept the what is that? It's appointed unto man once to die. He died a what we call a vicarious or substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. So he died in our stead. And then he has the power, as God, to raise himself from the dead. He did. And because he lives, yeah, this is the only reason we have eternal life. Because he lives, we shall live also. That is, if we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So, he goes on to say in verse 35, a good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, for we operate according to the Word of God. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth things he calls good, but they're evil. They have their source in the devil. And then he goes on to say, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And idle words, what's that? When people say, well, I'm a good person. Those are idle words. I'll put my life at stake as a basis of gaining heaven. Those are idle words. You know. Jesus said, I am the way. We already quoted that. So what? Unless your faith is in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's God who stood in your stead in life and stood in your stead in death and was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead, unless you believe that he did it for you, you don't have eternal life. It's that plain. So that's what it means, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What words? I believe that Jesus Christ is God, who became a man, so that he could fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness, and so that he could die in my stead. What's that mean? I've got to go through the physical act of dying. But if I go through that physical act of dying without having first been born from above or born again by faith in Jesus Christ, believing that he died for my sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, death will only bring to me separation from God, not fellowship with God. But the world has many ideas of what heaven is like and all of this and that. But in order for us to be redeemed, we have to have a redeemer. We have to have someone who, because it was appointed unto man once to die, we have to have a man die that can conquer death and raise himself from the dead. And so as we continue here, it says, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered and said, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Yeah. The Jews love outward signs. Yeah. And miracles never saved anybody. Yeah. It's a miracle that any of us are saved. And we break it down into the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. We would have to call that a miracle from a natural point of view, but not for God. He didn't have to die, but he died for us. He did die, he was buried, and he raised himself from the dead. Therefore, he conquered death for you and for me. That's why we know as believers, our eternal life is not one whit based upon anything that we do. It's based upon what we hear, and as a result of what we hear, what we believe. When we hear the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he died for us, and if we believe that he died for us, we have eternal life, and we shall never perish, then our faith is based upon his person and work. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we've read that. We would see a sign from thee. So Jesus says, fine, I'm going to give you a sign. Yeah. And it's by this sign which most of the Jews from that day to this have rejected, and most of the world from that day to this have rejected, by this one sign, you can have eternal life. Okay? He says, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah was told to go down and preach. Yeah. And the city escaped.
Nineveh,
yeah. He was to preach in Nineveh. But the Ninevites were idolaters. The Jews despised them. Jonah didn't want to go. They had to toss him overboard. He was swallowed by a great fish, not a whale. Whale doesn't have the capacity to swallow a man. A whale, biggest creature in the sea, eats the smallest creature in the sea. You know, it's a little shrimp-like substance called baleen. And it's got those things in its throat that strain the baleen out of all the water that goes through and out the spout. Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah. And so Jonah was in the great fish. It doesn't say whale in our king or in the Greek text. It says great fish in the text. And besides that, it was a prepared fish. God prepared it so that Jonah could live 3 days and three nights in it. Yeah. So, whereas Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, under the canopy of Christianity, and it'll be coming up here in a couple of months, we're going to celebrate a day which the Roman Catholics took a pagan feast and brought it in so they could get away from the name Passover. Yeah. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Yeah. You take a lamb on the 10th day of the month and examine that lamb up until the 14th day of the month, and the whole assembly of Israel was to have a lamb for a house. If you couldn't afford it by yourself, you go up with your neighbors, and it would be put to death on the 14th and roasted on the 15th and eaten with your staff in your hand and dressed and ready to leave Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world. So Christ being Christ our Passover, we read about that over in 1 Corinthians. Christ our Passover was what? Sacrifice for us. Now, let's turn to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. Traditionally, the Roman Church says that Christ made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on what day of the week? Sunday, right? They said he made his triumphal entry on Sunday. Now, if we read and compare all four Gospels, we find that Jesus was in an area called Ephraim. And then he came from Ephraim to Jericho, and then from Jericho to Bethany. Verse 1 of the 12th chapter, 6 days before Passover. Now, it takes a great deal of comparing of Scripture with Scripture to find this out. But 6 days before Passover. Passover on the 15th day of the month. So, six from that would be the 9th day of the month. So he traveled to Jericho. Okay? And then, let's read here. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, according to the tradition, Jesus was crucified on Friday. But according to the sign of the prophet Jonah, Jesus had to be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the or in the earth, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the earth. Between Friday afternoon, almost, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, is when Jesus bowed his head and missed his spirit. So they had to make sure that he was dead. They got the body. They had just enough time to get the body in the grave before sunset. So you change days. So he was supposed to be crucified on Friday, and so he placed in the tomb on Saturday, the Sabbath. Yeah. And then on Sunday, before dawn, he's raised from the dead. Shake your head a little bit. Between Friday afternoon, just a few hours before sunset, they got Jesus' body. He's placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Sunday, if we use tradition. Yeah. And we never get from Jewish night to Jewish day. There's no way you can get 3 days and three nights. Now, all of Christendom celebrates Easter because the Roman Church changed the name from Passover to Easter because it was a very popular feast to the goddess of spring. Various names, Ostra, yeah. The goddess of spring. What happens in the spring? Flowers bloom, crops that have appeared to be dead all winter long, or, lawns, flowers, trees, they shed their leaves and everything. But all of a sudden in the spring, they begin to bud out and, come to life again. Yeah. Okay. So, and they make, so that they made the feast of worshiping Eostra. They made it, we call it Easter. And Easter is the worship of a goddess of fertility. That's why for Easter, we have Easter baskets and Easter eggs. What is an egg? That's a sign of fertility. And so we allow that tradition of Easter, which was introduced into the church by the Roman Church because they wanted to separate themselves from the Jews. But the scripture tells us, let's continue reading, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Now, in John's Gospel, John uses Roman time like we do. So we don't see a difference in days in John's Gospel. But at sunset, let's say 6 p.m. in the spring, at sunset, it was no longer 6 days before Passover. It was now 5 days before Passover. Yeah. It was the 10th day of the month. According to the 12th chapter of Exodus, what were the Jews to do on the 12th day of the month? They were to select a lamb for a house, out of the sheep or out of the goats. It was called Passover lamb. They were to shed its blood, strike it with scarlet wool and hyssop on the doorposts and lintels, and then go inside and roast that lamb and be dressed, ready to travel, then they were not to save any of it till the next day, So it had to be either eaten or burned up. Okay? All right. And so that was Christ our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So the Jews came out of Egypt on the 15th day of the month, the Passover. Now, let's look at this. We've got to think about things. Every Passover was observed as a Sabbath. And then we have our normal Saturday Sabbaths. Okay? If Christ was crucified on Friday, Why does sunset start? It starts the Sabbath. Yeah. Now, where is he? Well, he's north of Jericho, somewhere near Ephraim, and he travels from Ephraim to Jericho, and then from Jericho to Bethany, 6 days before the Passover. So at sunset, it is the Sabbath. Okay? Not the Passover Sabbath, but the Sabbath. And Mary, they made a meal. And after the meal, Judas got very upset because, oh, why wasn't this, the cost of this meal and all that was done and the anointing oil with which Mary was anointed Jesus, why wasn't it sold and given to the poor? Oh, we got to take care of the poor. I like to watch golf tournaments. They're all about, some sort of charity. And you realize how many people get filthy rich with their charitable. we're going to look after this group, or we're going to look after that group, and so on and so forth. And they make a ton of money doing it. Well, so what's wrong with this? If Jesus was crucified on Friday, according to John's gospel, the next day he made his entry into Jerusalem. Which is, it was okay for him to travel 25, 30 miles on Friday, but not on Saturday. So tradition, with Christ being on the next day, which, they make Christ be crucified, or rise from the dead on Sunday while he's crucified on Saturday. But what did he do the day before? He traveled more than a Sabbath day's journey. So tradition makes it impossible for Jesus to be our Savior. But he fulfilled it completely and perfectly. Notice. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was. He, first of all, came to Jericho, if we read the accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? Great deal of money. A pence was a day's wages. And given to the poor. So this would be an entire year's wages for this ointment. And he's begging, saying it should have been given for that purpose. Then this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag. He was the treasurer for the Lord and his disciples, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. I have to be crucified, I have to be buried, and I have to rise from the dead. And against the day of my burying hath she anointed me. For the poor always you have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, when it says on the next day, well, we just looked at a shift in days at sunset, if we count Jewish time, but John used Roman time. So we have to go to midnight before we change to the next day. See? So, what did Jesus do? He made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Yeah. Well, if he did that on Sunday, what did he do on Saturday, which was the Sabbath? He traveled from Ephraim to Jericho, had healed some men going in, blind men, another one coming out, had a noon meal with Zacchaeus, who climbed a tree, you know, and then traveled all the way up to Bethany. When? By Roman tradition, on the Sabbath day, which was way more than a Sabbath day, because if you read the first chapter of Acts, the distance from Bethany to Jerusalem was a Sabbath day's journey. So, you know, he could have made that entry on the Sabbath, and that's actually when he made that entry into Jerusalem, when we divide it all out, take all of the accounts, then we find that Christ, you know, came to Bethany, you know. Now, as sunset, it's the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath, so they had their Sabbath meal together, and then he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which was perfectly lawful, legal, because Bethany was a Sabbath day journey from Jerusalem. Now let's turn to the book of Mark. I think it's the 11th chapter. It's amazing. If you study the Word of God, there are answers for the redeemed. Natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But if you study and are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and you may not find all the information you need at once. Back when I was a young man, I saw this discrepancy, and I spent literally years working out all the details with all the different accounts. Yeah. And they all fit, merged together perfectly and completely, so that, what do we read? Okay. Let me see where I want to be here. I'm looking for, I'm in Luke looking for Mark. Yeah, that'll do it to you every time. Okay, the 10th chapter of Mark. All right. And see, this gives us a little of that merging between what we just read in John. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, this is verse 46 of the 10th chapter of Mark. And as he went out, a great number of people, there was blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried the more, "A great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Wilt thou that I should do, or what withal that I should do to thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord." Now, son of David didn't do it. "Lord, yeah, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way." Not faith, but the faith. Definite article before faith. The body of revealed truth concerning Jesus Christ and his person and work hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem on the Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Now this is in John's Gospel the next day, but as of Friday night, or Friday night, Saturday night, you know, you have two nights together, you know, the end of one and the beginning of the other. So each day ends with a night and begins with a night. Okay. And when they came nigh unto Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. This would be according to John's gospel the next day. And saith unto him, or the 10th day of the month. When was the Passover lamb selected? On the 10th day of the month. Notice what it says. And saith unto him, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye enter into it, ye shall find a colt. Now, this is a beautiful type. Yeah. Ye shall enter into it. Ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied. Notice, by a door. Without or outside the door, in a place where two ways meet. Now, outside the door, Christ is the door. Where are we? There are two ways that meet out there. A way which seemeth right unto a man, and Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, they're outside the door. You know? So, at that place, and okay, let's see, I lost my spot. Okay, you lose the ass and bring him to me. I have need of him. So, what's an ass? An ass had to be redeemed the same as a man. If you didn't sacrifice a lamb or whatever animal was required, for the ass, you had to break its neck and carry it to the dump. Okay? So, who, like an ass, is stubborn and self-willed? We are. Yeah. And where are we? Outside the door. Yeah. We haven't entered into Christ yet, so we're outside the door where two ways meet. There's a broad way and a narrow way, and few there be that find it. So, in this historical event of bringing the ass to Jesus, the ass was a stubborn beast outside the door, outside of Christ, where two ways meet, a broad way and a narrow way. And the Lord says to us on the day of our salvation, bring him to me, I have need of him. How could the true and living God, who's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, have need of anyone's such as we? Yeah. Well, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and it's by the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save them that believe. So, God needs us because after our Lord was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven 40 days after his crucifixion. He is there. You know, he told the Jews to tarry in Jerusalem till the day of Pentecost, 10 days later. And on the day of Pentecost, why were they to tarry? Because they didn't have the power to do the job that God called them to do until they would be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Dwell, you know, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So each one of us as believers in Jesus Christ has a gift or gifts which we use in the furtherance of the gospel so that the world might be saved. You know? And where did the Lord first find us? Where two ways met. Outside the door, you know. And so where two ways meet, we have a choice between the broad way of the world, man's morality, or Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What a marvelous type. Yeah. And so he was anointed for crucifixion, and anointed as the Lamb of God that taketh this away the sin of the world on that, that Saturday, or that Friday night, you know, but at sunset, it was actually Saturday night, and the next day he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. And we don't find out the distance from Bethany to Jerusalem until we get over in the book of Acts, and it tells us, Bethany, which was a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. You notice on that first day, Jesus, we're about out of time here, but on that first day, Jesus made his journey into Jerusalem. And let's see if it's here in Luke's Gospel. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. They make the choice. And then let's say, and on the morrow in verse 12, okay. Jesus went into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, went through the temple, and that's all he did that day, and returned to Bethany. Okay, so then on the next day, on Monday, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not. So he finds just leaves on this fig tree. Who is the fig tree? It's Israel. Okay. And what was the problem with Israel at this point in time? They were steeped in the traditions of the elders. They didn't have their faith in the Lord. They wanted to kill him because they were afraid that the Romans would come and take away their place and nation. So on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. What day of the week is this? He made his triumphal entry on Saturday. Now this is Sunday. God doesn't create vacuums. So with the cursing of the fig tree, we have the blessing of the Gentile nations of the world, which will, be the dispensers of the grace of God in this church age. Well, there are many Jews that believe, or have believed, but they, as a people, are not being used of God at the present time to preach the gospel in all the world. At the present time, it's that ass, that stubborn beast outside the door, an unclean beast. It had to be redeemed, And so you know who the ass is. Okay. And that's exactly what the people of this world are. They're still so steeped in the lie of the devil that they stubbornly believe that if there is a heaven to be gained, it will be gained by their knowledge of good and evil, which is the lie of the devil, which caused the problem in the first place. So in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what?
To redeem
them, that's the Jews, who are under the law, to redeem us. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be, what? Saved. There's so much typology connected with this. And it would take me 2 weeks, 3 weeks to cover everything that our Lord was doing in the days of his public ministry up until the, you know, they took the lamb on the 10th. Jesus made a triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the 10th. And they examined it till the 14th, which would be Wednesday, you know. And they crucified him on Wednesday. What shall we do with this man, which is called Jesus? Crucify him! Crucify him! He was crucified on Wednesday, placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Thursday, which is sunset, was in the tomb Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day. And the first day of the week, when the women were at the tomb, they arrived. Well, it was still night. It was still dark. They found Jesus raised from the dead. Yeah. And they, you know, go tell the disciples. Peter and John ran down there. John outran Peter. Must have been a little better shape. But he waited for Peter. And Peter went in. But they were astonished that that Jesus wasn't there. And even though Jesus appeared to them, they still acted like he wasn't there. They'd seen a vision or something, you know. And so they were told to tarry in Jerusalem until Pentecost. And on Pentecost, what we call the New Testament church was empowered to do what the Jews had been empowered to do from the day that God brought them out of Egypt. You know. And what do we say about Jesus Christ? Behold the Lamb of God. What do we say about Jesus Christ? Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Not on Friday, because there aren't 3 days and 3 nights between Friday afternoon and Sunday before dawn. But crucified, placed in the tomb at the beginning, on Wednesday, placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Thursday, in the tomb Thursday day, night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day, and rose from the dead, so that when the women came in the morning, the tomb was empty while it was still dark. Yeah. What day would that be? The first day of the week. And then, of course, we like that. That lamb, were outside the door where two ways met, and we had to be sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by entering that door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. The gospel is through all of the historical events in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in shadows and types all through the Old Testament scripture. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father, but how?
By him.
But by him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the marvelous truth of this message, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. And when we recognize that the Jews would not have been satisfied with the so-called Christian interpretation of a Friday crucifixion and a Sunday resurrection. The Jews wouldn't be satisfied, were not satisfied. Christ was crucified on Wednesday, placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Thursday, was there Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day, arose the first day of the week, and is our Savior because he shed his blood to provide us with the remission of sins, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.